Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Where'd that go? Okay. I forgot I left it there. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We especially thank you for our time here this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts to receive your word, and Lord, that we can truly reflect on your love for us here this morning. And Lord, especially the fact that you bring forgiveness to us, and that you bring eternal life to us, regardless of our conduct in this world. You sent your Son to die for us, and we are so thankful for that. We ask now that you would block out maybe a few distractions that are going through our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. And Lord, that your word truly does have an impact on our lives as we live them in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just get a quick possible show of hands. How many of you have ever been to the eye doctor? Yeah, probably just about everybody in here. There's actually a statistic out. I don't know how accurate it is, but one in every four school-age children actually can have some sort of eye disease that can develop into some permanent eye damage. So it's very important. I know the schools do this, check eyes pretty regularly on even the children up there. As I was preparing for this, though, as I was thinking about eye exams, I just couldn't help but think of a video clip that a Christian comedian Tim Hawkins does. He describes one of his eye doctor's visit. Let's watch this video clip.
I had to go to the eye doctor. I haven't been to the eye doctor in 20 years, man, but I can't see, so I went to the eye doctor. It was horrible, man. And they had all these tests that you do, and which were fine, but they had this one test at the end, which I never heard of. It's called the glaucoma test. It's where they shoot a puff of air into your eye. I never heard of that.
Doctor's like, yeah, Mr. Hawkins, we're gonna do the glaucoma test on you now, okay? What we're gonna do, we're gonna put your chin in the rest. You're gonna look through that hole. And what we're gonna do, and we're gonna shoot a puff of air into your eye. Why? We don't know. This is what they tell us to do in eye school.
Like, all right, you're the doctor. Like, put my chin in the rest. I'm like, all right, I looked at a hole. All right, we're gonna go. Oh!
No, you're fine. Here's your eyeball back. It's shot out in the parking lot.
Folks, that's the first time in my life I had a puff of air go into my body and out of my body at the same time.
I tell you, the first time I saw that, I could not stop laughing. And I'll have to tell you, the next time I went to the eye doctor, I was about this close to falling on the floor when that puff of air hit my eye just to see what they would do. But seriously, eye exams are very important for us, right? I mean, our vision is very crucial for us as we live in this world. And I, you know, maybe some of you know someone that has a poor eyesight or maybe even blind. And I can't even imagine the world, what it would be like without that vision. But today we're also wanting to look at, that was the funny side there. We're going to get a little more serious. But we're going to look at another type of eye exam. It's not the one that checks our vision, but it gauges our relationship with God. It evaluates how we are standing before God this morning. And our gospel reading for this morning really brings that out as we look at this parable between the Pharisee and the tax collector as they go to the temple to pray. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, it says, he also told this parable, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So right off the bat here, we're getting polar opposites here, going to the temple to pray. We have a Pharisee who was a very religious person of that day. I mean, they held to the laws of God, tried to make everyone make sure they were holding to the laws of God, and even came up with a few extra to throw in there. I mean, they were the religious people of the day. On the other hand, you had the tax collector. Now, the tax collector during that time was under the Roman government. He collected taxes for the Roman government, but also whatever extra he could get from people, that was his. So the tax collectors were very evil, very crooked people during that day. And so you have these two polar opposites going to the temple to pray. And so verse 11, the Pharisee standing by himself prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Now, if we think about an eye exam, I don't know that this is what this Pharisee was doing. I think he was actually doing a they exam. I mean, because he was looking at everyone else and comparing himself to everyone else, and in his mind, he was a pretty good guy. I mean, he wasn't like the adulterer. He wasn't like the unjust man. He wasn't like even the tax collector that was there. He was a pretty good guy. He tried to obey the laws of God. And so he thought, you know, he was just pretty good. There wasn't any need to evaluate himself. And I think a lot of times, do we not fall into that same trap? Do we not look around in the world and see all these people who are doing these horrible things, and we may even say, well, I'm glad I'm not like them. We might drive through town and see people and think, man, I'm glad I didn't do what they did. We can even look in the church and say, man, I'm better than that person. You know, at least I'm here this morning. I didn't stay out too late where I couldn't come to church this morning. I mean, there's all sorts of ways that we compare ourselves to other people instead of actually looking at ourselves and saying, oh, this is where I've messed up. Oh, this is what I've done wrong. It's incredibly easy to look at other people's lives and to say, boy, I sure am glad I'm not like them. And then even the Pharisee even says this. He says, I fast twice a week. I tithe on everything that I get. And for fasting, as far as that goes, I guess there was a requirement really to fast once a year. And so he was really doing good, right? Twice a week. And tithing on everything that he got. I mean, we kind of have a tendency maybe to do that in the church too. Look, I've been up here 3 days this week working in the church. Where is everybody else? I teach Sunday school. I do this. I lead the choir. I sing in the choir. Where's everyone else when work needs to be done? We compare ourselves to people. And we do that because it makes us look good, right? If we can find a fault in someone else, we can elevate ourselves a little higher. And that's what this Pharisee was doing as he's praying. And then the tax collector, verse 13, but the tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector, the sinner of all sinners of that day, stands in the temple. He can't even look up to heaven because of the shame and guilt that he feels for what he did. And he simply says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, when we try to compare ourselves to other people, we're making the wrong comparison. When we compare ourselves to someone, we need to be comparing ourselves to really God and what His Word says. And you see, His Word demands complete perfection. His Word demands that we follow His laws perfectly. And that's what this tax collector realized, that there was no way he would be able to follow the rules of God perfectly. He had to rely on a Savior. He had to rely on God to bring forgiveness. And the same is true for us. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to earn God's love. It doesn't matter how many times we've helped in community activities or here at the church. That doesn't get us better favor with God. It doesn't matter all of the things that we can name off. We are sinful. Sinful human beings who deserve death, who deserve punishment for every single sin that we've committed. I want to ask you another question this morning. How many of you have ever stolen something? I think everybody's hand would go up. The situation that I'm really thinking about is a lot of us have experienced this as a little kid, right? We go in the store with our parents and we take something out. And when we get to the car, or maybe when we get home, our parents realize that, oh my goodness, our child took something. And what do? They make you go back to the store, right? And you, unless you've eaten it or something already, you have to give it back, right? Or if you've done that, they give you the money and you have to go tell them, I stole this, I'm going to pay for it. And I thought about this. I don't know that anyone's ever done this, but you know, what would happen if a parent would say, you know, go up to the owner and say, I really don't want to embarrass my child about this, you know, but can we just let this slide this time? And I tell you what, I'm going to come buy a whole bunch of that product for the rest of this year to kind of make up for that one that he stole. Now, if the owner goes for that, you're pretty slick, right? But the owner is probably going to say, no, I need payment for the one that was stolen, or return the product. And you see, that's really what our sin is like. We deserve to die for every single sin, and someone has to pay for that. There's none of them that can slip through. God requires payment for every single sin. And Jesus stepped in and said, I'll pay for it. You see, God sent His Son into the world to die on the cross to pay for all of our sins. And because of His payment for our sin, we have forgiveness, we have eternal life, and we have it right now. It's ours. And there's nothing that can take that away from us. And to me, that's what the tax collector in this parable realized. That's what Jesus is trying to show through this parable, is that those who want to elevate themselves, those who want to compare themselves, they're going to be brought low. But those who humble themselves, those who realize that they have no chance on their own, will be exalted. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, we are exalted. And just as important as our vision, physically, our eye vision is, it is important that we evaluate our relationship with God. Making sure that we have that relationship in place, knowing that we have that forgiveness, knowing that we have eternal life. Because that's what's the most important in our lives. You know, I pray that as we continue to live our lives in this world, that we focus on God. You know, that last verse, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He humbled himself, and he's exalted in heaven. And because of his love, because of his death on the cross, we are exalted. He took the punishment that we deserve so that we can enjoy the forgiveness of sins and life with him forever. And now we as Christians, we have a job. That job is to tell others, make sure everyone knows who Jesus is, so that they too can experience the forgiveness in life that we have. May we be the people of God that he's called us to be, being a light in the world as a church body and as individuals, so that more people will come to know who he is. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.